3 months. We are interested in your responses to this change. Please call 503-231-8032 to express your opinion or email program@kboo.org. You can continue to hear Democracy Now! On KBOO each morning at 7 a.m.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to KBOO. You're listening to A Deeper Look, and I'm your host, Linda Olson-Osterlin. Unless you're just tuning in, you know that this is the first day of our fall membership drive. It's always an exciting time down at the station when it's like that, and it's no different today. And as you may remember, if you've been with me before, and certainly if you've listened to KBOO before on membership drives, we always try to bring you something special for a drive show. And that's because we're asking something special of you today. We're not just asking for your ears or your thoughtful attention. We're asking for your dollars. And so we'll get to that later. You'll have an opportunity to become a member. But for today's show, I also brought you something special, and that's nothing less than the executive director of the National Lawyers Guild, Heidi Boghossian. You may recognize her voice when she comes on because she's also the co-host, along with Michael Ratner, of a weekly civil liberties radio show called Law and Disorder. It comes out of the Pacifica station WBAI in New York. Now, we've carried episodes of this before, so I'm sure some of you have heard it. She's also the author of an important and compelling new book. It's Spying on Democracy, Government Surveillance, Corporate Power, and Public Resistance. Welcome to KBOO, Heidi.
I'm so happy to be with you.
Oh, well, I'm really glad to have you. I have listened to your show and so appreciate it. And, of course, I appreciate the National Lawyers Guild. For many who aren't putting it in your mind who they are, if you've ever been at a large protest and someone's handing out, if you need legal help, here's the number, it's almost always a National Lawyers Guild number. You're always there to protect us when we're carrying out our civil liberties.
Yes, and we started doing that during the Columbia University protests in the 60s, and it's grown into quite a tradition across the country at demonstrations large and small. So,
and something we're really grateful for because, you know, when you're in that situation and all of a sudden the violence comes from the police, because that's where it's always come from when I've been on protests, and you don't know what to do if you're going to get arrested. Those legal numbers are so important. So thank you so much for your work with that. But I want to talk with you today about your new book. There's been a lot of revelations about spying. And for those of us who've been reporting on civil liberties, we've been trying for years to let people know about the growth of what we could see the outlines of and the growth of and the of surveillance on normal Americans, many lawsuits filed that were dismissed for government secrecy, et cetera. And it wasn't really until Edward Snowden, the private contractor working for the NSA, fled his job with thousands of pages of documents, that we began to see the really vast and incredible outlines of the government's effort to surveil, really not just Americans, really the whole world. So we can't go into all of the details of all of what we've discovered. It's much more than I even thought was going on. But can you give us a brief overview of the government spying on Americans and the different kinds of methods they've really upsurged in using right now? And then if you want, why don't we go on and talk about the latest revelation we've heard about, which is the Hemisphere Project?
It's definitely instructive, and I think one of the reasons that the Snowden revelations have resonated the way they have, to know that the government is partnering very closely with large multinational corporations, and they're doing that in a range of ways. After the Cold War, we saw the military establishment undergo a steady decline in spending, especially in the 1990s. And to avoid loss of revenue from reduced military contracts, computer and electronics companies expanded into new markets, often with equipment that was originally developed for military use. Texas Instruments, for example, known for calculators and office electronics, began by selling computer and surveillance systems to the government. And as you mentioned, there have been a range of applications. We have things like radio frequency, ID chips, often dubbed spy chips, biometrics, data matching, and certainly what we're hearing about now, meta data collection.
You know, and these things are real. Like I could be wearing clothing right now that has a chip in it and not know it.
Exactly.
And when I went to get my new license, they made me take off my glasses because they're now using biometric cameras.
Right. To scan your iris.
Yes, yes.
That's
so
right.
We're running into these new methods.
We are. And we're seeing them. We're seeing, for example, palm scans at hospitals or high school cafeterias. So it's slipped in over the last couple of decades. And I think what happened is when Snowden exposed a lot of this, people started reading up, seeing the different ways that technology has really made itself into our daily lives and how, in using technology, in many cases, although it's touted as convenient, we're giving up personal data. Corporations are aggregating it, packaging it, and reselling it to third parties, including the U.S. government.
And they're not just getting the data we sort of know we're giving when we go onto a Facebook page or get a new application for our smartphone or something like that where you have an opportunity to read a disclosure. But we don't know what's happening. It's very insidious in a lot of ways. You talked a bit about the programming to children and the ways that the targeting of children and getting data about children.
That's right. And that, I think, is particularly troubling in that children are so now accustomed to using computers from a very early age. But in terms of how their sophistication develops about being able, for example, to tell the difference between a cartoon or an animated advertisement, they can't. And businesses like Disney, McDonald's, Coca-Cola know that. And even working with psychologists, develop advertisements and sort of games that are intended to build brand loyalty from a very early age and in exchange collect data on children. And the legal protections have not kept abreast with technology.
And so what do you think are the results of this kind of collection of data? I mean, we could say, I mean, I have a friend whose son actually works in something about this for a large grocery chain. We could think, well, they just want to know what we want to eat, you know, what we like to eat, what we like to wear. What's the problem with that?
Well, there's no doubt that a lot of this started under the guise of being used for retailers so that they could market and send advertising to us. But the problem is what these data aggregators do is sift through not only consumer transactions, but they go through all different databases and gather information. And what they can do is develop a profile on each of us. And one of the fears is that politically active individuals, for example, will be targeted for their ideological views. And we've seen that especially with animal rights and environmental activists. The FBI has deemed them domestic terrorism threats, and there have been specific laws passed targeting them. I think that people, for example, say they haven't done anything wrong, they don't mind being monitored, but you have to realize it has an overarching effect on how we interact with each other. When we know that we may be monitored, we may suppress things that we'd like to share, we may not go to mass assemblies, we may not kind of engage in the communities that we traditionally have, when we know that the corporate state, along with the government, really has a handle on everything we're doing.
Well, this is really important information, and let's talk we have now come to the time when we want to go to Ani and Lynn, who are sitting by to help people become members of KBOO. Now, I know that a lot of you out there are already members, so it's a good chance to renew or to do a one-time contribution. They'll give you all the details, but I wanted to let you know that Heidi and her publisher have generously made some of the copies of Spying on Democracy, Government Surveillance, Corporate Power, and Public Resistance available as thank you gifts. And Ani and Lynn will let you know what that is. So just take a few minutes to listen to them, and we'll get back. When we come back, I want to talk a bit about the sharing of data between corporations and the police and the close relationship that has formed between corporations spying on activists say they don't like say they're a corporation in the animal business, and how they're working hand in glove literally directly with the government. So when we come back, Heidi Boghossian, you can tell us all about that.
And she will.
And all right.
She will.
Excuse
but first,
me.
Folks need to call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABU.
And let us know that you're there and that you give a damn and that you are helping us raise the $400 goal for this half-hour program for A Deeper Look with Linda Olson-Osterlin. Support the work she does week in and week out.
Absolutely. And share some of your funds. It's the sharing. It's not like Meta. That Meta thing sounds so like it's supposed to be so glamorous. I just sort of don't get that. But it's sharing your funds with us to keep this type of radio going so you can get through some of the gobbledygook that's out there about with people's attitudes of, well, if you have nothing to hide, why are you afraid of this?
There are plenty of reasons.
And Linda and Heidi are telling you about them right now. All you've got to do is call 877-500-5266, and our friendly phone volunteers will take you through it really fast. Or if you're at work, call go to kboo.fm and click on the Donate Now jar. You can or button or one of those things.
It's a jar.
Is it a jar still? Yeah. Okay, it's a jar. Click on that. It will also take you through donating really fast, really easy. And then you will be a member of this fine institution. You will be sharing and contributing to the knowledge of the general community.
And again, for that $60 pledge, Heidi Boghossian's book, Spying on Democracy, could be yours. I think that is a good value. You get your community radio station. And you get this book that you can share around with your friends, with your family. You can share KABU, too. You can always let people know, even if they're out of the broadcast area, they can listen to KABU online at kboo.fm. You can donate online at kboo.fm. But if you would like a copy of Spying on Democracy by Heidi Boghossian, who you are hearing this morning on A Deeper Look, then give us a call right now at 877-500-5266 and get this important information. You can get into the depth of it. This interview, you know, one thing I love about Linda's interviews is she really does get deep into the situations, deep into the information, and really brings us out stuff that we need, stuff that we can use. But, you know, again, if you want to keep going into that topic, this book can help you do just that. Call us now, support community radio, support A Deeper Look. Give us a call, 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm.
Back to you, Linda.
And thank you, Ani and Lynn. You can call during the show. You may miss a few seconds of Heidi and ours discussion, but we will post this audio from this on the web today, so you will get a chance to listen to it later. Please don't miss this opportunity to get this book. It really is. If you're a regular listener, you know that I read a lot about this subject, and this really does have a lot of new information. Heidi, welcome back.
Great to be back. Hope the money is coming in.
I do too. Thank you. I know that you know the importance of independent media, and it really fits right in with our topic, because I wanted to talk about one of the things that I found more extensive in your book was the coverage, the information I gained about the collusion between, I call it collusion because I wasn't raised in a democracy where I thought they consulted the nearby bank or big realtor, person owning that building, McDonald's or whatever, when a demonstration was coming, consulting them about what they wanted done, when they want it done. I mean, they actually worked together tactically, strategically, et cetera.
They definitely do. In fact, one of the working titles of the book had the word collusion in it. A development I'm not sure that all of your listeners may be aware of is the creation of so-called fusion centers a couple of years after the events of 9/11.
Yes, we have two of them here.
Oh, that's right. And so you probably know they were coordinated to really share information between federal and local authorities, but they also work alongside military units and private security companies. And they collect personal data on Americans. They mine public databases and other sources. The problem is they have to justify, in order for them to stay in business, terrorism threat assessments. And so often activists are the first line of individuals that they identify as prospective threats. They use the anarchist threat assessment. They stir up fear among the general public by saying these are violent individuals, and don't really back that up with any examples. But they've been criticized for being very wasteful, for gathering subpar information that really isn't of much use in helping us fend off real prospective threats.
Well, so I've wondered from the beginning if they're really there about terrorism. I think that is a subset of what they cover, but I think they're doing their job pretty accurately, which is to set up a system of observation and control for the government as we go forward. Because, you know, you know this very well, and you mentioned it in your book, that they played a central role in the crackdown on Occupy.
Yes.
And so these fusion centers, but your point about the corporate, the one here, I was able to interview the head of it, and I did tour it. And at that fusion center, they acknowledge that they buy certain data from commercials, but they wouldn't go into it in depth. But your book really covers it, that, you know, they collect data, the stores. I mean, literally any corporation, most corporations share their data. They sell them huge amounts of data, anything they can collect on you. So there may be a law that says HIPAA, that a medical establishment cannot release your information without a warrant. However, they can get your bank records that show what doctor you paid and what medicine you bought.
That's absolutely right. And keep in mind that the private sector, big business, is not constrained the way government officials are, who have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution. So that I believe in many ways big business is functioning as the long arm of law enforcement, able to gather information from a wide range of sources and to do so unchecked and really with impunity. And then what they do with it, as you've noted, is share that in many instances with the government. So we have such a tight relationship between government and corporations. And it's also worth noting that with the development of sophisticated surveillance technology, businesses need more threat assessments to fund their bottom line and to, you know, fulfill their duty to shareholders. So it's in their best interest to come up with threats. And again, it's very easy to use activists who may be vocal and may, you know, go to demonstrations and are an easily identifiable group of individual to justify their continued funding.
Well, and I think pretty clearly they do target activists, because many activists are anti a particular corporation or anti many corporations or anti, you know, GMO, which hits a bunch of corporations. Talk about the way that the animal industry has been. Well, actually, I'm not going to ask you to talk about that. We may get to talk about that at the end, because the animal industry has been successful at criminalizing protests against their particular industry, something that we could all be afraid of going forward. What if you found out that an animal industry was doing something that ended up harming children and you went to protest?
Exactly.
You know, it gets very chilling. I want to thank you. Heidi, we're about to go to our membership break again. I wondered if you wanted to say anything about supporting independent media, so that our listeners can hear from you about that.
I can't emphasize how much we really rely on real news, not that which is fed to us by the corporate media. which no longer really does any investigative reporting and has a conflict of interest. I love community radio stations, public stations that are supported by their audiences because they're not afraid to speak the truth, and they do so without commercial interruption and without owing a debt to anyone. So it's urgent that we keep these stations on the air so they can be vital resources for all of us.
I agree with you so much, and thank you for that, Heidi. We're now going to go to Lynn and Ani, who are going to tell you about how you can get Heidi's book, Spying on Democracy, Government Surveillance, Corporate Power, and Public Resistance, but even more importantly, how you can support KBOO, the beacon we have out here in this part of the Northwest, bringing you independent radio.
You know, Heidi speaks truth. It is, in fact, because we are not reliant on any one major funding source that we do maintain our independence. That's the trick to it, right? Because no one really owns us. No one really controls us. We are, in fact, fueled by the funds of many, many members, thousands of you, in fact. And we want you to join on in now. We know that about only 10% people listening are actually members of KBOO, and we want you to
be able to remedy that situation. You can remedy that situation.
You can. You can make KBOO exceptional. I mean, that is the national average. It's just sort of that general rule that seems to hold from station to station. But we know that this area is exceptional, and we know KBOO listeners are exceptional. So please do give us a call and increase that membership pool at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. 80% of our money comes from you, our listeners. We have very little in that 20% that 20% that's left over is spread out amongst many, many underwriters and the occasional benefit and that sort of thing. So we really do rely on many, many small funding sources to add up to great things. Be a part of that right now and help us raise this $400 goal for a deeper look this morning.
Absolutely. You can do it. It's a $400 goal, and I know that many of you listen to Linda's show. It's a very popular show, and you want to support her the knowledge and the information that she brings out. 877-500-5266, and we have just 10 minutes left of the show, and we know that you can do it. You might be driving to work. It is a gorgeous day out there. Take a walk with your cell phone and call 877-500-5266 right now. Come on down to 20 Southeast 8th. It's really fun to come in, see the station, see where your money goes. Folks are running around. You might be able to have a little chat with Linda. 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. Now is the time to call. It's the right thing to do, and it's something that you value because you are listening to this station right now. And we don't have to come to you very often with requests for money, but it is important to pay light bills and keep electricity. You cannot have a radio station without electricity.
It's true.
We're trying to figure out solar ways to do it, but it just hasn't happened yet. That's a lot of watts. 877-500-5266 is the number to call.
Yes,
now,
and please, can I get in here, Lynn?
Sure.
Hi, I just wanted to say that, you know, I know there are some of you out there who have the capacity to contribute more. And that this is one of those times when you can step up. I'd really appreciate it. And I know our station would keep our momentum going from earlier this morning. So if you have $200, $300, $500 that you could contribute and you know that that's possible for you, please also you pick up the phone and make that kind of big gesture. We need it here at KBOO, and it will make you feel good and you will know that your dollars are making a difference. There are fewer and fewer stations like KBOO, and we work hard here to keep this station coming to you to bring you independent news. And I know that that's something you value. So I really would love you to pick up the phone right now. I'm going to go back to my talk with Heidi Bogosian.
In just a moment. And until then, we do need you to call 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm. Again, for your $60 contribution, you can get Heidi's book, Spying on Democracy. And you've been listening to the interview. You know that this is information you can use in your life. It's information that, in fact, is under the current public discourse. It's because it's stuff that we're not supposed to be thinking about, quite frankly. But it's good to have people dig in the information and to bring it out and serve it on a platter for all of us, looking at what it really means to live in a surveillance state, really. What do privacy standards mean? Any of that, you can read more about it in Spying on Democracy, Heidi Bogushin's book, $60 minimum pledge. Your contribution to community radio goes a long way here. And as Linda said, that $60 level is a minimum pledge. If you have a little more means at your disposal, please do consider stepping up and being a hero to KABU. Consider giving a dollar a day, $365 a year. That contribution would be so much appreciated. If you can give us $500 a year, again, give us a call right now. We really need to hear from you. Every show this morning has broken goal, and we love the momentum to start off this fall membership drive. We want to keep that going right now. We need to raise about another $300 before 10 o'clock, and we can do that with your call of support at 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm.
And back to our interview, and thank you, all of you out there. Make a difference with your dollars. Do call while we're talking, 877-500-5266. Welcome back, Heidi Bogushin.
Great to be back. And I had a question. Can callers make their pledge in the name of a friend and then perhaps use the premium as a gift or share the word that
absolutely.
Way?
Absolutely, and I think that's a great way to do it. I often do that myself because I get the book to contribute to, I do the book, I contribute, and then I give the book to a friend or a relative at Christmas.
Right.
It's a good way to get good books to friends,
right.
You know, and to people that you want to have the information and that you think will make use of it. You know, I think that one of the things that we've been running into in this country, at least as a reporter I have been, for all this time that I was telling people about what the government was doing and the government was denying it, people seemed to think I wasn't accurate. You know, there would be sometimes an incredulous response. They'd be, oh, no, not that, not all
right.
that much. And now that it's all out there, they go, oh, well, didn't we know that? And I think there's this instant desire on the part of Americans to, when they see this vast surveillance going on, to just go, oh, my God, it's too big. It's too much. What can I do with it? I can't even figure it out. And you have a great chapter in your book. Once again, I'll give the name, Spying on Democracy, Government Surveillance, Corporate Power, and Public Resistance. And you talk about the custodians of democracy. So we don't have a lot of time left. We only have a few minutes. I'd love you to start there.
Yes, I thought that given the rather depressing nature of this really humongous surveillance apparatus, it was good to humanize and share examples of some of the nonprofit groups and the individuals who have stood up and said, we don't want this kind of technology, at least used the way it has been used. And there's a group in Boston called the Campaign for Commercial Free Childhood. I talk a little bit about their work.
You have a great chapter about the effect of and the spying on children for those who are interested in that in this book.
Yeah, that was actually the last chapter I wrote, and I realized, oh, that would be so wrong to not include that because it starts really with children. But there are groups like the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, and then there are brave school children who have said to their parents, I don't want to have my hand scanned to get into the high school cafeteria.
We love those kids. There's kids that have stood up all over the country refusing to be tracked.
Exactly. And it's hard, you know, when you're a teenager, especially, there's a lot of pressure to conform. So their resistance is all the more, I think, crucial for us to look at and take to heart and say we can stand up. And a community in California didn't want a domestic surveillance drone. They fought that.
In Seattle, the public fought the initial attempt to put drones there, and they have since pulled back from that. The city has given back the drones to the manufacturer.
That's so wonderful. And I think that momentum can really be harnessed and built on. There was one high school student who didn't want to wear a new ID card with an RFID chip in it, embedded in it, and they say it makes attendance easier. Again, all for convenience, but these things slip gradually into our lives, and when they reach a tipping point, it gets harder to fight back. But I still think we have that window of opportunity.
I think so, too, and I really appreciate your book and your show, Law and Disorder, that is on WBAI in New York. The work that you do and that other civil liberty organizations do is also critical as custodians of democracy. And every time you, my audience, stand up and speak on behalf of an issue that you believe in, you do that too. I'm going to ask you one more time to quick call in. If you've got that pledge, you haven't yet made it, call us at 877-500-5266. Become a member, get the book, and feel really great for the rest of your day. And thank you so much for listening to KBOO Community Radio. Thank you, Heidi.
My pleasure.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up in 15 minutes at 10:15, it's Aircast. Actually, coming up next, it's Aircascadia. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, immigrants' rights activists celebrate a series of victories in California. The pitched battle to save the pristine Northern California town of Willits continues. Activist Norman Solomon says, let's not keep giving the Nobel Peace Prize to warmongers and mass murderers. And investigative reporter Jeremy Scahill pries apart the U.S. terrorist war. At 11 on Between the Covers, the guest is Seattle naturalist Leanda Lynn Haupt, author of The Urban Bestiary, Encountering the Everyday Wild. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, award-winning author Jean Luen Yang talks about his new historic epic, Boxers and Saints, which was a hit at the recent Wordstock Literary Festival. That is all coming up, but do stay around. Air Cascadia is up next with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. It is KBOO Portland, and we thank KBOO members for your generous support. It is our membership drives, so please contribute.
You may have heard my voice before. Portland wouldn't be what it is today without KBOO Radio. KBOO Radio has brought people together through the airwaves in an interactive process that has allowed Portland to become a richer, more vibrant, more progressive city. A city that let go of a freeway along what is now Waterfront Park. A city that has an activist community, whether it's for bike lanes or fancy food or whatever it is. KBOO has been part of the cultural underpinning of all that we have become together. Yep, you've heard me before. I'm Vicky Tempe, now Victoria Stappy Yellow. I was a station manager when we built our studios in the early 1980s. All I did then was pitch for money so that we could do this debt-free. We own our own home. We have no mortgage. Not my doing, but all of our doing. We need you to continue to support KBOO as a vibrant, healthy underlayment for all that we build in our community.